Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Very exciting. Darth Vader himself is here. All the other nerds tremble in his presence.
This would be my chest box that helps me to breathe.
So this is to help you breathe, yes?
Yes.
And which of these buttons calls your parents to pick you up?
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dumps Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, May 4th. Happy Star Wars Day. I'm J.E. Skeets. Along with me, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Hey, yo. Oh,
the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team right now joining us live on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. Email us your questions and comments for tomorrow's Beach Step and Podcast. Yeah, Wednesday already tomorrow. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or tweet them in at nodunksinc. And finally, go grab yourself some sweet, sweet, sweet No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. I'm telling you right now, new shirt dropping Monday.
Whoa, baby!
Because some of you out there in the No Dunks universe maybe know what Monday is. A very special day.
A hallowed day.
That's exactly right, and that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it at that. So we're going to have a special shirt dropping on Monday. Okay, though, today's podcast is going to be fun. The Athletics analytics guru, Seth Partnow, is going to join us later in this show. He's actually going to take us through some of the most insane, like crazy, wildest stats from this 2020-21 regular season. So again, Seth will join us later on. But let's first get to the games. We'll fly through these because we got a lot of questions for Seth. First one, Lele, Steph Curry, 41 points, pushes the Warriors past the Pelicans, 123-108. But, Draymond Green, crowned Marvel's first champion. What'd you think about the game? And, of course, the NBA / ESPN / Marvel broadcast. Did you get a chance to watch it with your boys, Lele?
Well, so that's the thing. I am actually the target demographic for a broadcast like this because I'm a father of two boys, a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Right.
My four-year-old has all sorts of face masks and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So he's right into it. But it was on a Monday night. I sort of think something like this probably would be better for a Sunday afternoon when you can really actually get the kids down because they're getting ready for bath time, bedtime and all that sort of stuff. So it wasn't really the prime time. And for me, so if I was watching it a little bit and, you know, there were some references thrown in there, but it was a little forced, I thought. But it was their first time. So, you know, there's some things to work on there. You can never usually get things right the very first time, but it was fine. You know, we saw a couple of references there. But as far as the game as well, this was over pretty early. I mean, Steph in that first quarter, I mean, he lit the Pelicans up. 17 points, 21 in the first half. Warriors are in control. And I think you can see in a game like that, it's like that gravity from that first quarter has an effect on the rest of the game because the Pelicans, I thought a couple of times, several times throughout this game, got scored on through just fake dribble handoffs to Steph Curry because they're so worried about his shooting. Mm-hmm. And just he just pulls so many defenders and so much attention that you saw Draymond Green go in, Toscano Anderson go in and just score easily at the hoop. When I went back and looked at the game book from this game, it said zero lead changes and zero ties. And I thought, ah, that never happens. There's always, you know, that first quarter, there's always, you know, two or three or whatever, but none of those whatsoever. Yeah, so Steph pretty casually walked his way to a dominant game. And Draymond Green had a fantastic triple-double in this one. And this, to
heroic
me...
heroic stuff, you would say.
Yeah, yeah, that's champion. Right, yeah. When I was getting ready for this morning, I thought, I'm going to try to throw in a few references like that. And I was like, I'm forcing it. So I'm going to stick to the basics here. But this was a playoff-type win, you know, for a team that is going to make the play-in tournament. And you only sometimes need one or two experienced guys, because a lot of those other guys certainly haven't had the playoff experience that Steph and Draymond have had. And they led their way, and their less experienced teammates sort of got a taste of what it's like and what to expect against the Pelican team that is absolutely desperate to get in. And they were really outclassed in this one. Zion, you know, had a good game. I thought Draymond defended him as well as anyone can. And Lonzo, who cooled right off, I think they really need some pop from him. So the game did kind of... stink, you know, let's be honest. So
yeah, but Lee, we were watching the hero points race. Forget about the human points. Yeah, it was all about the man. Hero points.
Yeah. There was a lot of lead changes on the hero points scoreboard. The only thing that mattered last night, Lee, a legendary performance from Draymond. You could tell that he cared about winning the title of Marvel's first champion in the Arena of Heroes. That was what they were calling it. Marvel's first champion in the Arena of Heroes. Just rolls off the tongue. But this guy obviously was fired up to be playing the game. He had a driving dunk late. He was dishing assists just to get 1 point ahead of Steph Curry because he knew he was taking home the extra 10 HP with the win. Afterwards, he basically admitted it. Like, yeah, my kids are going to be so excited that I'm a superhero, so I had to come out and win. I don't know. It was great. It was an entertaining thing for a game that wasn't actually close between a 9th and 11th seed. It kept me entertained, and honestly, I felt a little vindicated for my Marvel knowledge. When the news dropped, I said, Doctor Strange is the best one of these heroes to have on your team. Draymond goes out and is crowned Marvel's first champion while being recruited by Doctor Strange.
Mm.
I thought it was going to be a time thing, but it turns out it was a seeing the future thing. But yeah, I don't know. They kept calling him Marvel's first champion, which means there's going to be a Marvel second champion and third champion and fourth champion. This ain't the last time we've seen it. I think they've got a baseball game that is going to be Star Warsified today.
Oh.
No surprise. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of integrations these days. I don't know. Some of it was fun. Some of it was like, okay, I'm still watching a ball explode into the hoop when we are, you know, in the second quarter of a game that's not all that tight. But I don't know, for a random game in the beginning of May, sure.
JD, what'd you think of the broadcast? Overall, the look of it, yeah, whether they were, you know, the lines that Ryan Rucco was dropping with RJ there, what'd you think overall?
I liked it way more than I thought I would, that's for sure.
Okay.
I thought the set and the graphics looked awesome. Like, the set that they were sitting in was amazing. And, you know, Ryan and Richard, they seemed to be geeking out. They were getting into it, which I appreciated. And I think Angelique Roche, is that her name?
I believe so.
She did a great job. I mean, she's a Marvel person, obviously, and a basketball fan, it appears. But she was just dropping knowledge. Really, really surprisingly deep references, I thought. So I thought she killed it. I mean, those are the good things about it. And also, I found myself rooting for Wiggins, you know, homer pick, right?
Sure.
So, and he did kind of make a little run in the third there, and I thought, okay, this is exciting, but sorry, Andrew, you're going back to Alpha Flight.
Oh, ouch.
Sorry. But that's all right. Alpha Flight's cool. You know, and Draymond winning, and it was kind of cool, but it was also kind of confusing, the name, the graphics, the names popping up during play,
yeah.
I found really distracting and also not helpful at all, because sometimes the names were pretty far away from the player, you know, and they would have a defender and whoever had the ball. But I loved the street, like the stream of the ball every time it was a three. That was cool.
Even on the air ball from Zion?
That was awesome.
Even on the air ball. And a couple of times it got triggered. Once it got triggered when the ball went nowhere near the net. Mm-hmm. You know, like we saw the sort of basket thing. But all in all, I mean, I guess it was fine. It was cool. I almost wish they went further with it almost, you know, like give the players actual, like almost superhero-fy their uniforms. You know what I mean?
Right, sure. Right.
And the whole thing of there only being three on each team, that actually seemed to make it more confusing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just get everybody involved and whoever has the best
line.
Yeah,
there's enough like, comic book characters to attach to everybody, yeah.
8,000, apparently, according to Angelique.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
That's crazy.
8,000 characters in the Marvel Universe is insane. But I was happy to hear some Fantastic Four references and... Like, you could have, like, the X-Men and the Fantastic Four, both of those teams have matching costumes. So you could make, like, Team X-Men, Team Fantastic Four. It's all part of the MCU now. So right. It would have looked badass, in my opinion. I know, like, on the traditional broadcast, they were probably, you know, putting up with the Arena of Heroes and all that stuff. And I'm sure you didn't see Black Panther, you know, swinging into the frame and... It was cool to see Iron Man sitting on the shot clock. I thought that was kind of cool.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, he was looking like Sting from the WCW days, just lurking up there. I thought he was going to drop down and kick some ass with a baseball bat or something. But yeah, I just think overall, like, it felt like this was sort of thrown together quickly in terms of even like the press release and sort of what they did. Like, it was half-assed a little too much. Yeah. And if they had leaned even more into it, I'm with you. It was at least entertaining. But overall, it's fine. Like, I wish they did more with, like, what's it called? The Doctor Strange, like, is it the sling ring, like, dimensional gateway thing? Like, they used it when they were in the studio, like, for, like, a guest, I think it was, Anthony Mackie and stuff like that. Like, or they were showing Zion or something like that. Like, I wish there was, like, a little bit more of that. That's just a cool thing, I think. But I was laughing my ass off at Richard Jefferson.
Oh, my goodness.
Complimenting Tony Stark on recruiting Lonzo Ball. And it, like, just so, like, deadpanned. And I was just like, this is incredible that they're really running with this. But okay, so you're grading it overall, you're giving it like a B or something. Is that right, Jason?
I'll give it a B. Okay. I'll give it a B. The problem is, like, you're suspending your disbelief. You have to suspend your disbelief on two levels, right? First of all, the Avengers, you know, are in the arena and enjoying the game. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
Great seats.
But in the Avengers universe, this would never happen, right? They're not going to go to an NBA game to recruit an NBA player. That's just not happening. So it's just like, come on, guys. There was a controversial moment that I saw some super nerds complaining about when Angelique... It appeared that Captain Marvel was standing on the shot clock, and I think it was Brandon Ingram taking free throws, right?
Okay.
And then she made a comment, something like, Miss Romanoff can take care of herself. And everybody was like, she just called Captain Marvel Miss Romanoff. That's Black Widow. Hello, it's a Carol Danvers. But I think she was, because Brandon Ingram, his player was Black Widow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the whole bit was, oh, she's trying to distract Ingram. And she's like, nah, don't worry. Miss Romanoff can take care of herself. So, she was actually double right. It was just a deep cut that you nerds didn't even get. So calm down. How about that?
Right. How do you feel about, and I saw Schumann was tweeting about this. He was a little upset. And I already knew what happened, so it wasn't a spoiler for me. But they legit spoiled Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like, in the first 10 minutes of this broadcast. And I mean spoil in the sense, like, if you hadn't watched that series yet and you didn't know what actually transpires in it, then you're definitely spoiled. Do you care about that, JD? It's 10 days after. People are coming back at me on Twitter. Well, did you really care if it's you haven't watched it in 10 days? 10 days you're allowed to watch a show now, apparently, from front to back.
An entire series. Yeah. But to be fair, it the last episode was 10 days ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if the true believers, they watched from the beginning and they knew about... Anthony Mackie is the new Captain America, everybody.
Oh, Jesus. What?
Spoiler
twice.
Alert.
Oh, my
spoiler
God.
Alert. And so, and you know what? Sort of related. We had this the Captain America costume. No. It doesn't work. Like
ears out.
ears out, head out. I mean, it looks cool in the comics, but
for sure.
Oh my God! Like in real life, I mean, they have to do something about that.
I'm worried about him taking a seagull to the skull and it being all over for Captain America, just like that. Get him the helmet, jeez.
He's gonna clip himself with his own wing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people skydiving wear helmets because of the parachute or whatever. It's not because you're going to land on the ground. Anyways.
Okay.
New costume, please. New costume.
I mean,
needs a makeover already.
People are, again, coming at me in the stream team here, like saying, well, if you haven't seen it yet, you probably won't be worried about spoilers. No, I'm just told you the opposite of that. John Schumann is watching the show. He's got 2 episodes to go. He turns into this Marvel NBA game, and it's completely spoiled for him, is my point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are people like that out there, all right? I hate to defend Schumann. It's the last thing I want to do on Earth, all right? But I will here. I will here.
No, he's here. Schumann's here. He's in the stream team.
Yeah,
well.
I know Schumann's here. I'm trying to help him out, for crying out loud. Okay, overall, it was fine. I'm with you, Lili. Weird timing for this whole thing on a Monday night late. I mean, if the whole idea is to try and get some more kids, into the sport by way of Marvel, then, yeah, just sort of like a strange decision in that part, but throw it on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, maybe there's something there. And I think they could have just gone better with the graphics a little bit too.
Warriors fans, it's 4:30 their time on the West Coast, right? Like they were able to tune in. Their kids were surely ready school. Let's throw on this Marvel game and watch it there. And 7:30, I mean, you know, the sun's staying up a little bit later right now. The days are longer. Maybe your kids are staying up too late, watching some basketball, watching some Marvel all at the same time. Couple great moments I loved in this one. You knew this game was over when Steph Curry made a 3 and Ryan Rucco just yelled, "I am Groot!"
Yeah, that's great.
No reason. Literally no reason. That's a Marvel reference. Throw it in there because the game is basically over. And Richard Jefferson, like you're saying, hilarious on the broadcast. They gave him Tony Stark's Infinity Gauntlet at one point back in the studio, and he, of course, gave a finger to the camera. The guy who does the 69 nice jokes on the broadcast, flipping off the camera, love it, love it. He's the only guy that can get away with this.
No, there's a little bit more to that, though, because I was actually watching the pregame, like, hoop streams thing on Twitter that they do, and I apologize for not knowing, like, the host's name, but she had the same glove, obviously. And it was hilarious because I think it was like malfunctioning. Only the middle finger would keep going up and they were dying. And she was like slick with it. She was trying to keep it like off screen a little bit. But the other hosts out there with her were laughing their asses off. And like she couldn't get the middle finger to like go away somehow. That's I don't know what was going on with that glove, but wow. Yeah, it's pretty
That's funny.
All right. Anyway, that's long enough going 15 minutes plus here on the Marvel ESPN NBA game. I guess it was a success after all. All right. Our next game, Lili, this was wild. Russell Westbrook, the third game in NBA history with 20 plus rebounds and 20 plus assists. A 14-21-24 game for Russ as the Wizards win and gain ground in the East standings. We'll get to, of course, Trey's beautiful big beef there from Russ. But, any takeaways besides Russell Westbrook, or is that the story in this one?
Well, that's the story of the game because his Wizards tenure is basically following the same pattern what happened in Houston last season. He started off the season slowly, carrying a bit of an injury, adjusting to a new team and new teammates. But just like it was before the shutdown, he is on a tear right now. He just looks like Russ from the OKC days. And our friend Fast Freddy Katz had a great write-up on him this morning. Has all the stats and tidbits of additional information and all those things that you want to find out about. And the stats, as great as they are, ultimately, though, the Wizards are winning these games.
Yeah.
That's what's really important here. They were 17-32 less than a month ago. They're 30-35 right now. And of those three losses, one was by a point and one was by 3 points. Westbrook in those games, 22 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. I mean, he's averaging a triple-double on the season, so it's not a shock there. Shooting 45%. But here's where it really gets interesting, I think, for Westbrook and the Wizards. 10th in the East still, but I'm going to say they're safe from here because of the way they're playing and the gap between the Bulls and the Raptors there. And they'll probably even take over the Pacers to finish 9th and probably grab home court in that battle against Indiana. And I think right now everyone would take the Wizards to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they potentially face the loser, as it is today, of Boston and Charlotte. And again, either of those two teams, the way they're playing and the way Westbrook's playing, I mean, it wouldn't be an automatic victory, I don't think, for either of those teams. I think the Wizards would almost maybe go in favorite. They wouldn't have home court, though, so that would count against them. But this is the other weird little thing coming to look forward to for the playing tournaments. Remember last season, stats didn't count in that playing game.
Yeah.
So Westbrook may, again, two or three triple doubles he might get in these playing games, and they might not count for anything. So,
well, do we know that's what they're going to be doing again this year? I mean, we're going to have to ask Seth that when we get him on here. Yeah, maybe he knows the answer to that. These weird lost numbers. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He, in theory, could literally set the all-time triple doubles record, passing Big O, in one of those playing games. But it probably won't count as a regular season game, but we don't even think it counts as a playoff game. I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Okay. But, he's going to get there before the play-in.
Well, that too.
I mean, this guy is quite obviously aware of his stats, and he's going for these triple-doubles right now. You can lock in Westbrook passing Big O this season.
Yeah. Anyway, another great game, great performance there from the Wizards, and some of those passes too from Westbrook. Like, he's like a little Harlem Globetrotter out there, really trying to dance around and fizz passes into his teammates underneath the dunks. It's been great fun to watch. There's no doubt when he plays like this, you know, this is why he gets the accolades and the attention, because he's incredibly fun to watch. We saw him, of course, though, and like a lot of guys, when he's injured, can't perform to that level, and he looks a completely different player. But right now he's fresh, he's playing in back-to-backs, and it's great that, again, the Wizards are winning these games. And Scott Brooks even said Westbrook's the second best point guard of all time last night.
Oh boy, I know. Well, who was number one? Who
only Magic. With? Only Magic Johnson's ahead of him. So, anyway, I mean, look, he's been his coach since Westbrook came into the league there in OKC, or an assistant coach anyway, Scotty Brooks, and he's a big defender of his, and who cares? Let him get carried away in the moment and say, yeah, second best of all time. So, statistically, I guess he probably is. I mean,
well, the number's crazy. I mean, this is one of the wildest woe boys of the year, TK, as I go to you here with the 14-21 rebounds and then 24 assists. First time since we've been doing it, first player to do the old roast beef and applesauce, same game.
Speaking of fun to watch, Lee, we have known it was a possibility, like you're saying, Skeets, that Westbrook could do this, but the beef gods finally blessed us. JD, roll that beautiful beef and applesauce footage.
Russell Westbrook had 21 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. He also had 24 assists. That's a big beef with applesauce. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds. And applesauce, which is assists.
That's the longest the music's ever gone on this.
Oh, yeah. I had to stretch it out to get those rebound to assist highlights. I think there were 7 or 8 that Westbrook had where he grabbed a rebound and the Wizards were scoring within, you know, the next 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Obviously, came against the Pacers again.
Yeah, what's going on up there?
I think 6 of the last 10 20 rebound games have come against the Pacers. Makes for a complete meal. You got the beef, the applesauce, and the corn. Meat, fruit, and veg. You're eating good, just like Russell Westbrook. Incredible performance and a delightful beef to be slicing and dicing last night. I'm telling Laura, not only did I gotta slice up this beef, Westbrook also had an applesauce. She's like, what's an applesauce? Well, obviously that's 20 assists. She's like, you know, roast beef and applesauce, they don't go together. It's pork chops and applesauce. I was like, yeah, but
yeah,
applesauce is assists, roast beef is rebound. She's like, yeah, but pork chops and applesauce are the things that go together. Yeah, exactly. They don't go together, but when you put them together, it's beautiful.
Well, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, roast beef, RB, rebounds, assists, AST, applesauce, AS. Come on, Laura. Jesus. Follow along here. It's not rocket science. That was an incredible game. What a line.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you're right, Lili. I think the Wizards are the favorites to grab the 8th seed at this point, like to get to the 8th seed. I don't know how you're betting against them when Westbrook's playing like this and Beal's obviously still dominating. Bertans are contributing after he had the birth of his son there. He hasn't missed a shot. So, yeah, they're rolling. Okay, but let's keep going here. The LeBron-less Lakers hold off the Nuggets to halt a 3-game losing streak. Marc Gasol compared his role with the Lakers trade to Winston Wolfe from Pulp Fiction. We're talking all movies here today. Star Wars, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Pulp Fiction. But what'd you think from this one?
If you want to do a late night game, maybe a Pulp Fiction by NBA remix will be pretty good. I'd tune in for that. But yeah, this was honestly an excellent, ugly win for the Lakers. We know they're a great fast break team in a famous location. They've got massive stars, but they actually win with defense. And this was a great one. A huge, needed win over a hot team in the Denver Nuggets, who are ahead of them in the standings. And considering the Lakers' struggles, I don't know, best win of the season, perhaps, for the Lakers, at least after AD and LeBron went down. AD was great. 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, made a floater under a minute, had an incredible block on a Campazzo 3 to save the game. He came from basically under the rim to the 3-point line to get a finger on it. They had a picture of him that Taz had, and what you need to know from behind Anthony Davis, and he looks like he's 100 feet taller than Facundo Campazzo. I thought this was Davis's best game. Jokic was great, played MVP basketball again, 32, 9, 5, 3 steals and a block. MPJ had 19. JaVale had 10 in a revenge game, but no other Nugget was in double digits, and this is the kind of game you can see how they're going to miss Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. Nice stuff from the stars, no doubt. But the story of the game, Skeets, Marc Gasol, like you mentioned it, guys played a total of 50 minutes since April 6th. Didn't play at all in the Lakers' previous game against the Raptors. Came in, gave the Lakers 17 minutes of savvy. 10 points, 3 threes, plus 17 in those 17 minutes. And like you said, he said he was happy to play the Mr. Wolf role from Pulp Fiction. You know, he comes in when things aren't going great, fixes everything up, and I thought that was a perfect comparison.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel, he's an old established actor at the time. Not a ton of screen time in Pulp Fiction, but a massive character impact, and that feels the same for Marc Gasol, no doubt. He's older, he's not getting a ton of time, but he's going to be totally necessary to the Lakers, because you think maybe Andre Drummond is supposed to be their Dwight Howard replacement, a big athletic guy who could theoretically bang with Jokic, but he doesn't quite have the know-how, physicality, positioning, whatever you want to call it, that Marc Gasol does. So I think that Gasol is going to be the guy if the Lakers and the Nuggets end up playing against each other, just because Gasol knows how to stay down and stay in front of Jokic. They built a 10-point lead over the Nuggets. Then Gasol comes out, Drummond comes in. They almost blow the lead. Yeah. Gasol comes back in, and they sealed things there at the end. Great stuff from Marc Gasol to get the tab. Hey, come down. You got some clothes for John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson? Bring a banana slug shirt. I'll be there.
Yeah, If Gasol is Winston, who does that make Drummond here in Pulp Fiction, Lily?
Oh, man.
Wait, have you seen Bruce, Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, of course. That's a great movie. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I never know with you. Sometimes, like, the greatest movie ever. Bruce, you're like, never
Bruce Willis, he was supposed to take a dive, wasn't he? But he didn't, and then he went on the run. Is that Andre Drummond? You know, he ran on the run from Cleveland.
Oh, hold on. John Schumann, have you seen Pulp Fiction? We might spoil it here in the next couple minutes on this podcast. Okay, don't worry about it. But nice to see Gasoli obviously contribute here. And he might be pretty instrumental, especially in certain matchups in the playoffs here.
Absolutely. And Gasol, you know, he's a little bit slower, of course, than the other guys. But he moves well enough to get into Jokic's way. And John Hollinger pointed out on Twitter last night that he's actually historically has matched up against him pretty well. So...
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing. Marc Gasol wasn't happy when Drummond came over. He thought his minutes were going to eat into his time, and they have. But when there's a role for him, he stays ready, stays professional, gets it done. And then you saw him with the hitting the three last night. He did the symbol as well because his shot hasn't been falling all that much this season. But it's also just weird seeing a team play with two bigs a lot of the game last night. You know, at times it was Davis and Drummond, then Gasol and Davis was out there as well. You know, that's just something we just don't see a lot of these days. You know, sort of two guys who could be a center on the same team. But, you know, Davis obviously spreads the floor, and so does Gasol when he's hitting those threes. I mean, Drummond doesn't do it as much, although he can operate in the high post there and pass the ball. So, yeah, this was an important game for the Lakers to win, and important because Davis did finally look something better, something closer to the player that we expect him to be. So Lakers toughed it out and got a good victory.
All right, I'm going to fly through the rest of the games here because I want to get to our guest, Seth Partnow. He's going to join us in a second here. But we had Carmelo Anthony passing Elvin Hayes for 10th in scoring on the all-time scoring list, which is amazing. But the Hawks, ka-ka, stopped the Blazers' 4-game win streak. Bogdanović, he was awesome in the first half, hitting a bunch of threes. Gallinari, he's a spicy one. He was money in the second half. He hit a ton of threes in that second half as the Hawks got a really nice victory. You paired that with the Knicks winning again last night. That 4-5 matchup, we said it a while ago, that's going to be a fun series between the Knicks and the Hawks if that one stays the way it is. I'm very excited by that. But Melo, again, this is pretty incredible, just especially when you think, Lili, that this guy's career looked like it was over after he played, 10 games in the 18-19 season. But he found a new life here in Portland, and now he's passed something like 9 guys on the career scoring list over these past 2 years, like taking down Alex English and Garnett and Havlicek and Paul Pierce and Duncan and Neek and Oscar and Akeem and now Elvin Hayes. Mm. Carmelo Anthony up to 10th. That is cool. I don't know if you saw that clip going around too. Again, came in a loss, so that sucks for the Blazers after that 4-game win streak, but like he got the game ball and had like a basically a cool little speech to the locker room, sort of addressing what I just said. Like, you know, people wrote me off and I came back and look, I'm climbing up the ranks here.
Yeah, and he's accepted a role coming off the bench and performing it well. And I think he gets, if you can put that graphic back up there, JD, for a second, I think it's Shaq who he can pass. He's got about 1,200 points there to catch Shaq. I don't think he can get to 30,000. It seems a little bit out of reach. Maybe, I guess, if he just hangs on for a bit. But to finish eighth all time by the time his career is done will be a pretty good achievement for Melo because, I mean, but Houston traded for him and then just waived him. Like, they didn't even really try to trade him. It was after that awful game against the Thunder where he just played really badly. And the Rockets said, just go home. And he was out of the league for such a long time. So credit to him for, you know, for being the guy, because there's that clip as well when he was originally traded to the Thunder where he's like, they want me to come off the bench? No way. Or, you know, he's laughing at that suggestion. And now he's found that he can still be productive and still have a role in this league doing that. So, you know, as long as he stays healthy, I can see him sort of hanging around for another season or two in the NBA for sure.
Final games, Magic topped the Pistons 119-112. Mo Bamba, big night for him. Tobias Harris led the Sixers past the Bulls 106-94. Like I said, Randall and Derrick Rose leading the Knicks to a win over the Grizzlies, and the Jazz cruised past the Spurs 110-99. The Jazz, 9-0 in their yellow jerseys. Haven't lost in those, bright yellow, gold, mustard, whatever you want to call them. And they snatched back the number one seed in the West from the Suns. Philly stays one game up on the Nets for the number one seed in the East. And you have the Knicks assured of their first winning record here. That's the big news from last night. Since what, 12-13, when they went 54-28 with some guy named Carmelo Anthony. Mm. So there you go. But let's take one quick break here, hear from our sponsors, and then we'll get to our guest.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's bring in our guests. We've kept him waiting in the back there for a while. Seth Partnow covers the NBA and basketball analytics for The Athletic. You can hear him on The Athletic NBA Show podcast, specifically Friday's Nerder, She Wrote. Seth, what is up, my man? Seth, I believe your mic is muted. We may have done that, or
nope,
you. There.
That was there we go. Strong entrance, strong.
Well, we kept you waiting backstage there for about 20 minutes. Sorry, we had to talk about that Marvel game for a good 15. What'd you think of it?
I watched it with my wife, who's a big Marvel fan, not so much of a basketball fan, and she had more actually almost a basketball anti-fan, but she had some she had some thoughts on it. She didn't really think they picked a lane in terms of who they were. Were they trying to get basketball fans into Marvel, or trying to get Marvel fans into basketball, or was it for kids? It was kind of in the middle of those. And so liked the effort, but it wasn't ultimately kind of didn't come together quite well.
So did she watch all four quarters?
No, she did. She did.
Wow.
No, we went through all four quarters. She kind of started to tap around the fourth quarter, but she was a gamer.
All right. Where do you now rank hero points among the other catch-all stats?
Yeah.
Not so good.
Come on,
no, they're fine. Ball it's
was
fine.
A
it's
negative
actually,
hero point guy in the first half.
I think Mark Schumann was pointing this out earlier. Is it's basic? It's a very similar metric to one that Larry Bird came up with, 20, 30 years ago, and it's not terrible. It's like you get positive points for doing good things and lose points for doing bad things, and so it gets you a reasonable estimate about of who is done well without, you know, missing a bunch of shots or turning the ball over. So it's not like awful, but
right.
It's like Tommy points a little bit. Yeah, wasn't it? When, a lot Tommy Heinsohn used to hand those out. Although he only gave them, I guess, for positive, not for negatives as well.
If they could have worked Tony points into the game somehow, just like, then I, you know, as you guys were saying, like lean into it more. I think it was JD was saying, lean into it more. Just go with the complete ridiculousness and something like that would have maybe added something to it.
I can't lie. I was hoping to see hero points on the Basketball Reference box score when I fired it up today. You know, they like to put a joking nickname on or something like that. I think Joe Johnson still has the Armadillo Cowboy up. They could have easily thrown the hero points there. I don't know. Next time I play pickup, I'm definitely going to be subtracting points for every turnover in this shot. I don't know, Skeets. I might be going negative here. I think if you end up with negative hero points, you're actually a supervillain.
Oh, yeah. Lonzo was a supervillain. That was close. For the first half, you got to go.
Hail Hydra.
Yeah, exactly. all right. So we had you on because you got a great article up today over at The Athletic. Everybody should go subscribe. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. We tell you every damn day. But go subscribe for great stuff like articles from Seth. And you sort of take us through like the seven craziest stats from what you say is basically an extreme season, I think, to use your words. So we'll tackle these. We got a few other questions too. I want to get your thoughts like maybe on the play-in tournament. We have a little bit of time and your player tiers and stuff like that. But let's jump right into the seven crazy stats. And I'll sort of like throw them out there and you can explain them to us. So the first one, this is like great timing off that, you know, Wizards-Pacers game. But it's this idea of just this insane scoring explosion going on this year. So, like, sort of take us through what you found in your research here.
So it's not the highest scoring in terms of total points season ever. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, there were like there's about 223 points scored a game. Now there was about 225 or so on average. But they were taking, you know, 20 more shots to do it back in the day. So this is the most efficient scoring season in NBA history. And it's not because teams are getting to the free throw line a bunch and getting freebies that way or getting putbacks off of offensive rebounds. It's they're making shots. Effective field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage are all at all-time highs. And turnover rate is the second lowest of all time. So offense is just really winning the day right now over defense, and it's happening at one of the faster paces we've seen in, you know, the last 25, 30 years. Basically, it's one of the fastest paces the league has been played at since the Pistons decided teams should play defense.
Do you think it has anything at all to do with there being no fans and now, you know, some fans, of course, into buildings? Like, could that help this idea of just, you know, the offenses, especially, I guess, in road situations, still humming along?
I do. There was some stuff that I looked at in the bubble last year that has sort of continued a little bit. I think for whatever reason, like free throw shooting was a little bit better in the bubble, and sideline 3-point shooting was a little bit better. So it's maybe interestingly, that's not really a home road thing. It's like you don't actually shoot better in front of your own bench or worse in front of the opposition bench. But I think just having nobody there on either side can't hurt, especially with, you know, it's not that you guys have been on an NBA court. It's not a lot of room there to put your feet. And so if there's no one there, you probably have just a little bit better off getting your feet together and getting that shot up in rhythm.
Yeah, so, a little more room to breathe over there. Lee, are you better when nobody's around you when you shoot from the corner there? Or do you like people sort of encroaching on you a little bit?
Well, I mean, obviously I don't have the same sort of effect behind me as the crowd, but certainly the corners, it's just more comfortable to shoot from, I think. It just feels you're a bit closer because you are. You are closer. I mean, that's the one thing that I remember specifically when we did the three-point shootout, you know, for all of those All-Star weekends. When we went into the Superdome, was it there in New Orleans? That felt just gigantic because there was so much empty space behind you, you know. So going into a smaller arena, I guess like the one in Charlotte, we did the last one, that just felt tighter.
Yeah.
It just felt more comfortable because it just didn't feel like you were just trying to, you know, throw into an oasis out there. So, you know, but I do think that, you know, and I don't have the data to sort of back it up, I guess, but I suspect with the bubble,
playing in the same court, the same arena, you know, guys just get more comfortable with it. You know, they're not traveling and having to sort of get used to a new court or a new background of that. So I wonder if that has an impact as well. I mean, I suspect it probably does, just because the court that you shoot on the most tends to be the one that you shoot the best on, I think.
Possibly. Seth, while we're talking pickup hoops here, didn't you and TK match up in the post in like a summer league game or something like that? What's fun?
So unfortunately, if there's like an odd number of big men in a pickup run, I sometimes get
you're the Marc Gasol.
Mr. Wolf.
I'm 6 foot and a half on a very good day.
Yeah.
So, but somehow I get, you know, I ended up having to guard Trey in the post.
Oh man.
I'm soft inside anyways.
He wasn't throwing any bows to get a position. We know Trey's got a bit of he gets out of the court. He's competitive.
You know, I tried to front it in three quarter and it was a long way around.
The good thing is in pickup basketball, not a lot of lob entry post passes, you know? Not everybody dipping it in there. But Seth, I'm a little curious with regards to the pace. You're talking about we're playing at a super fast pace. I think Schumann had a stat that Pacers versus Wizards game last night was one of the fastest games in the past 25 years. There are 42 guys averaging 20 a game right now. Do you think we look back on this era we're in now, kind of similar to the way that people are looking at, you know, the Oscar Robertson era, where they're like, yeah, he averaged a triple-double, but look at how many more shots they took back then, and look at the pace of play back then. It kind of feels like we haven't adjusted to the fact that players are so much better on offense right now, and everybody wants to play offense right now.
The players are better. The environment is very pro offense. And yeah, I think a lot of these, the statistical milestones we're used to, like, you know, a double double doesn't mean maybe what it used to. And averaging 20 a game doesn't mean what it did previously. I don't know if it's this era specifically. I think this year is on top of some of those trends you're talking about, has just added something on top of that. And I'm not sure yet whether, you know, as we get into more normal environment games next year, whether that'll continue or not. I just don't know.
Yeah.
So I think it won't, but I don't. But this year, certainly, the numbers are just are kind of wacky.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do with them.
Off of that Wizards-Pacers game that you said there, TK, Schumann actually slid into the DMs. He had a trivia question for you guys, and we're going to include you here, Seth, too, is I think this is a tough one. So Wizards Pacers, second fastest paced game in 25 seasons in which we have the play-by-play data, topped only by a Lakers Suns game in 17-18. Okay. So the question is, can you name the guy who played in both of those games?
Wow.
And I'll give you a hint. He is not the epitome of speed. Okay. I would say the opposite. So, Lakers-Suns, 17-18, and then, of course, last night's Pacers-Wizards game. One guy played in both those games.
Lakers-Suns.
It's a guy that I'm on record not being a fan of when he played for my team for a hot minute.
So he was
Alex Len.
Bingo!
Alex Len. He can move!
Has played in two of the fastest paced games of all time.
I was about to go with Robin Lopez, so you're right there.
Yeah, right? He did play for the Suns. That's true. There you go, Shu. We slipped it into today's show.
Nice one.
Okay. Our next one here, again from your article, Seth, talking crazy stats, wild stats, however you want to call them. The blowouts. All right, talk to us about the blowouts, because it does feel like there's more than we've ever seen, and your numbers sort of back that up.
Yeah, there have been, and you know, the increase in pace of play and three pointers means I think you're gonna see more games that end up with a wide margin, just because, you know, with the threes the scoring variance can be higher, and then you don't have to win each possession by as much to win by 20 if you're playing, you know, 10 more possessions a game. So there's that, but the worrying thing that I've sort of been watching all year is just how much game time has been played where the game is non-competitive. I think that's a bigger worry. Like, you could have a good game that ends up, you know, with a team winning by 20. It's, you know, it's a 5-point game with 9 minutes left, and then it gets out of hand. And that's been an enjoyable game for three quarters. I think so far this year, it's sort of arbitrary, but I've been looking at the amount of game time that one team or another has had a 20-point lead, and it's almost 10% of the game. Every game this year has has been quasi garbage time almost, with one team has a 20 point lead. Ben Falk, who runs Cleaning the Gas, looked this up for me earlier this year. Normally, on his stats, he removes garbage time to kind of get rid of those stats for people. And most years, it's around 3% of the game or the court time. This year, it was early in the year. At some point, it was up around 5%. So just a ton more non-competitive action, and that's, from a product standpoint, probably not great.
We have to go with Marvel games to keep everybody interested in hero points.
It's probably saved a little by the fact that there are more games in a given night because the season is so compressed. So League Pass junkies, you're not necessarily noticing it as much. I think for people who are just watching games of one team, it may be more noticeable in that, just more of those games are over after 2.5 quarters, which is not awesome again.
Yeah. Or, if you're a Raptors fan, you're down 20, but don't worry, you'll make a fake ass comeback to make things interesting there in the final couple of minutes. And you'll
I was going to say, between the Bulls and Raptors, it's got to be 100% of games have a 20 point lead at some point.
Yeah.
So I as a Raptors fan, I have to just say shout out to Freddie Gillespie, who started his college career at my alma mater, Carleton College. Big fan of Freddie.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Our next one here, specific about an actual player here now, Blake Griffin, and what he's sort of done here in Brooklyn since coming from Detroit. What are the numbers saying, Seth?
Well, for the more than a year before, and I apologize in advance for us, you have to see this coming, but for a year before he got to Brooklyn, he had no dunks.
Yeah.
And since he's been in Brooklyn, he has 11. It's as a percentage of his shots, it's the most he's dunked since his fourth year in the league.
Wow.
Which, people are saying that he kind of was taking it easy in Detroit, and I don't think that's it. I think having, 6 weeks off helped him probably playing 20 minutes a game instead of 30, not having the ball in his hands all the time has helped him. You were talking earlier about Carmelo transitioning into a different role. I think kind of getting bought out and then going to a really good team has helped Blake kind of move into that next stage of his career, maybe more naturally than he would have if he had still been kind of the guy making however much money on a less good team.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Also within the article, correct me if I'm wrong, does Blake Griffin lead the league in charges?
He does.
Is that right?
He's drawn 22 charges. he does not lead the league in offensive fouls drawn. Lou Dort is the one.
Yes. Dort, drop your Dorts in the stream, too.
Yeah. Drop your Dorts.
But he is, on a per-minute basis, he is, I believe, fifth in most offensive fouls drawn this season.
Wow. Blake Griffin.
Grinder.
Yeah, that one caught me by surprise, that little addition there. So, yeah. But you don't think, really, Seth, that he was, sandbagging so much in Detroit?
No, I think that he, he was 3 years ago, he was the All-NBA third team and basically dragged that Pistons team to the playoffs and hurt his knee late in the year and has never been physically the same again. And basically was fighting to get back on the floor for the last 2 years and, wasn't really able to until he got to move into a different role and had some time off. So I think it's just sort of the natural not having to be, the star player has helped him have a little bit more energy when he doesn't have to play as many minutes or have as many responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. The next one here, Trey, you're going to love. Seth, I know you've been following it basically all season long. I've seen the tweets coming through and you've slipped it into some other previous articles, but it's titled Zion Smash. So what's going on with this one?
So we only have play-by-play that's reliable for shot location going back to 1997. In that time, Zion is by a massive margin shooting in the restricted area more frequently than any other player. For his career, I think he's up around 19 attempts per 100. The next highest is 13.5 or so. Whoa. He has the two highest rim attempts. If we count last season, his partial rookie season, he was up over 20 per 100. This year he's down to 18.5. Only one other time has any player ever been over 16 shots in the restricted area per 100, and that was JaVale McGee for the Warriors when he played about 700 minutes. So it's just if you put it on like a scatter chart, it's like everyone else over here in Zion way over here. Like, it just expands the chart by 50%.
What about like Dwight in his prime days there in Orlando?
There's a bunch of players right around 11, 12, 13. Dwight is down there. Shaq, only have late career Shaq, but looking at if you look at Shaq's field goal percentage and free throw rate, he's probably taking about the same number of rim attempts in his younger days before we had play by play. He's right there around 12, 13. That's where Giannis is. We've not seen anything really like this. It's lab created to get to the rim a bunch in kind of the pace and space era.
I love it. He shoots only layups. It's amazing. But the question for me, I've been saying it's only a matter of time before Zion leads the league in scoring, but he's only taken twos. The guys that lead this league in scoring most of the time now, Steph Curry, Bradley Beal, James Harden, they're obviously making multiple threes a game. Is it possible to still lead the league in scoring if you're only taking layups and dunks?
If you can create layups and dunks at that rate, I think it's possible, sure. I mean, he gets a little bit better at finishing, a little bit better at free throw shooting, and he's been a very good but not elite finisher at the rim. If just a little bit of improvement in all those areas, and if the bar in this area is averaging 32 a game, that might be tough. If he needs to get to like 28, 29, I could see that.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that Trey and I were talking about before. I'm doubtful that someone could do it in today's game, as we've talked about, with the scoring explosion and the three-point percentages and all that, to do it without that. But then again, like, who's to say he also doesn't add that to his game a little bit? I'm not saying he's going to turn into Steph Curry.
Just enough to
maybe help his chances of getting over 30 per game. So, well, something to watch. But yeah, it's pretty cool, like you said, when you see the graph of just where he is. Now, here's the follow-up question to that. Is he sort of underrated, oddly? Like, you're saying he's doing historic things here. Of course he's a huge name, but maybe it's because the Pelicans are sort of disappointing. I don't know what it is. I feel like this is being overlooked a little bit.
I think so, too. And he gets, like, there's a weird sort of thing where, well, all he does is dunk and shoot layups. It's like, well, yeah, but those are the best shots in basketball, and no one else can get there as well as he does, like, ever. So like, right. Wilt was maybe, we don't have stats for those days, but that's the only thing that I can really probably compare it to, someone who's just like that athletically superior to everyone else on the NBA court, that they just, I'm going to jump in the air and shoot this and you can't do anything.
Like, yeah.
For as great athletes as we have, just the combination of size, speed, strength, and body control is completely unique.
Did you see Lili, the clip going around Twitter the other day? Maybe it was yesterday even. Someone had like old footage of Wilt Chamberlain. Basically was like, yeah, did you see this?
Yeah,
Trey, I saw you nodding. Yeah, it was like they basically were like look at
joke.
The turbo boost that Wilt Chamberlain had, and there's like three clips that they've edited together where it's like in transition. And it is amazing. It almost looks like this is fake, right? Like
he
just like turbo boosts like step. But then again, he was like a track and field like star.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, he's going to be faster, but it's just also he's 7 feet tall. And so his like first step is like, Usain Bolt, like, I guess. It just looks incredible. So you saw it too. So
yeah. But you can find Bill Russell was similar. You can find some clips of him just like, just being faster than everybody else.
Despite being the tallest guy out there, significantly. Yeah, crazy. All right, a couple more here. This goes back to what you were sort of saying there, TK, the stat inflation and sort of how we sort of even try and wrap our head around some of these numbers that guys like Westbrook and many others are putting up this year.
Yeah, this is depending on how you count who qualifies. I think as of Sunday night, there were 39 guys averaging 20, but it's been bouncing between the high 30s and low 40s all season. Easily the most in NBA history. So averaging 20 probably doesn't mean nearly as much. I remember before the All-Star game, Dan Feldman of NBC wrote an article where he was basically found like 73 different like statistical things that nobody who's ever done this has not made the All-Star game.
Right. I remember that. I brought that up on the show. Yeah. I got laughed off the podcast here. I remember TK, come on, get out of here. But yeah, that's exactly right. There were all these crazy statistics, but that you would usually be an All-Star for.
Right. And we've also, there's been more players have scored 40 at least once this season than any other season in history. And like, you know, it's scoring 40 is great, but does it, like it's now it's like you got to get to 50 to impress me almost, or at least 45, but 45 isn't a round number, so it doesn't feel really work as well.
Yeah, Tass said it today on What You Need to Know. He's like, I think Lillard had 33 last night. 33 like 20 years ago would have been the lead story, and now it's just like, okay, that's like an 18 point game. So what is the analogy here? Like 20 points now, you think that's like a 25 point per game score, or the other way around, 25 is the new 20. I don't know what it is. How do we account for this?
I would, you know, you get, again, round numbers are easier, but you get, have to, like, guys who get in like the 23-ish range are probably about the, you know, the, like, Terry Rozier is averaging just over 20 this year. 10 years ago, he would have been 10th in the league in scoring. Now he's 30 something.
Right.
So that's, I think that, you know, again, so the guy, like, he's basically having a season like a guy, you know, a good, solid starting two guard. Yeah, he's giving you about 17 a night. You know, that's about what Terry Rozier's 20 means.
Right, right, right. Lee, are you happy with going with like sort of the benchmark 23 points per game? You want to go to 25? How you feel about this? Or do you want to keep it at 20?
I mean, 20 was always the, like, if you're in the 20-point club, you're a legit scorer. That's what it always felt like. But yeah, you're right. Now, you look at the sort of leaders in scoring, and you're going down, way down the page, and seeing guys registering 20 a game. So we probably do need to bump it up. And if we're going to do it, I think go up to 25. It just seems that natural sort of mark that's like, okay, now 25 is legit. But Seth, one thing actually we've sort of talked about is, you know, Russell Westbrook is going to average a triple-double this season. Do you think he makes All-NBA third team or any All-NBA team? Or is this going to be a guy who has a statistically incredible record season and there's no actual award for him or even accolade when the season's all done?
That's a really good question. I haven't really thought about the guard spots so much in All-NBA yet. And because the Wizards have frankly kind of snuck up over this last month or so, that he wasn't really in the conversation, and now I agree with you that he kind of has to be. But there's a lot of guards that are, you know, what do we do with Chris Paul this year? What do we do with Luka? With, you know, when he's been on the court, James Harden has been absolutely spectacular this year, and we haven't even talked about, you know, Dame and Steph. So
even within his own team in Washington there as well. I mean, Beal was the All-Star, and Beal might lead the league in scoring. I mean,
and you know, the Suns have been one of the best teams in the league all year, and their backcourt, both players have been really good this year. So what do we do with that? I mean, the Wizards have been, you know, again, the last month have been great, but you look over the season and Phoenix has just been really, really good all season, and kind of want to reward that over happening to have kind of the hot month right fresh in mind.
Said like a real stats guy, hey?
What are you here for?
Don't get caught up in the recency bias, losers.
I'm here to remove all fun, so.
Right. No, it's going to be tough. I actually don't think he's going to make it, which is Westbrook, that is, to an All-NBA team. Because you said, like, you haven't even said, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, I think, is going to warrant some consideration, of course, with the success of his team. I know he's out now. That sucks, too, with all the injuries to some of these. Kyrie Irving, I mean, has to be. In my opinion, it has to be on one of these teams. But, yeah, at some point, you start running out of spots for all these guys.
I mean, there's six spots for 10, 12 guys.
We're still waiting for Skeets to go 10 deep on his All-NBA team. I know he's waiting until the end of the season to finally unveil the list. But this is the year where there's going to be a lot of snubs, a lot of all-NBA snubs.
Yeah, you thought it was impressive when Dan Feldman was dropping 73 potential All-Stars? You wait till you see what I do with the all-NBA team. No idea. Hold on to your butts. All right,
so become the all-NBA team.
Yeah, right. Two more here. Back to Brooklyn here. I love this one because it's gotten overlooked a little bit, probably because he hasn't played a ton here recently. But Kevin Durant and how he still has it coming off an injury, Seth.
It's... He's having his best shooting season of his career. I just say that, you know, even adjusting for kind of the pro offense environment we're in, he's having his either best or second best shooting season of his career at age 32, having not played in a year, coming off basically the most debilitating injury a basketball player can have. What do you do with that? I don't know.
Yeah, at 32, that is it's pretty wild. The overall efficiency and field goal percentage by a sizable margin, you said.
Yeah, it's 20 some points. He's been more efficient than he has any season in his career.
Are you concerned at all about the Nets not having played many games together? They're three guys moving forward in the playoffs. This whole idea of like you got to get some chemistry built within a regular season, and you can't just say, oh, well, you've got all these talented guys. All right, it's okay. Playoff time. Let's go win a bunch of series. Or can they?
On one hand, you are concerned because they haven't had that. On the other hand, like the games they did play together, it was pretty seamless. Mm. Like I really kind of enjoyed the way they played those. I mean, it seemed they naturally kind of slipped into roles of Kyrie kind of playing a two guard scorer role, KD kind of floating around getting his shots whenever he wanted to, and Harden really playing almost a traditional point guard role for three quarters of a game. And then I forget who they played earlier this year, but there's one game where he basically didn't look to shoot for three quarters, and then with 9 minutes left he was like, okay, my time, and played about the best 6 minutes I saw anybody play all year in the fourth quarter. Because he had the energy to do so, because he had just been, you know, setting everybody up for three quarters.
Yeah, well, that's not looking good for me in my $100 bet with Tass Mellis is basically what you're getting out here. All right, and our final one here, and we can like sort of spin this into a little MVP conversation if we want to, but Steph shooting and just sort of what he's doing here. Now, he's likely not going to win MVP. Who knows where he even finishes? Maybe top five, maybe top three. But, you know, still doing some pretty impressive stuff, of course, in terms of shooting the basketball.
Yes, as we are joined by my four-year-old in the background.
Oh, excellent.
Nice.
Cameo.
Yeah. It's incredible. As players like Harden and Dame have gotten to, you know, take the Luka, Trae Young have gotten to take the ball and do whatever they want on offense over the last couple of years, we've kind of wondered what it would look like if Steph got to do that, and we're getting to see it now, and it's pretty awesome. Right now he is shattering almost his own record of three-pointers per game. He's up just on, I think he's fractionally away from being at 5.3. The old record is 5.1. If he goes really crazy over the end of the season, he'll finish with the third most made threes of all time in a season, and he's kind of a shoo-in to have finished with the fourth. Most he needs to average, I think, like 7.5 a game over the last part of the season to finish third. And, you know, normally say he couldn't, but, you know, he's had, I think, 16 games this year where he's hit at least 7 threes. So it could happen. And especially with Golden State, you know, kind of needing these games. They need these games and every shot he's giving them.
Have you sat down and really sort of crunched the numbers when it comes to any of the awards, be it MVP and where Steph falls in that or any of the other ones, or is that an article for a later day here still?
MVP is Jokic has put that one to bed. Where Steph is going to be, you know, second, third, fifth. Somebody's had I a ballot, he would be on there. I just don't, I'm not sure where, because again, with all the injuries to so many of the, before he went down with this injury, I probably would have had Harden at number one. But, you know, with the just the consistency that Jokic has done this playing every game, he's just been by far the most valuable player over the course of the season. Even if on a given game, Steph might hit or Joel Embiid might hit a better height, but just the consistency of excellence for Jokic is, and I almost think we haven't talked enough about it, especially how good he's been since Jamal Murray went out.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think you will be bumping Jokic up in your player tiers if you are to do these again before the start of next season? Because I have it here in front of me. You had in tier 1A was Giannis, Harden, Kawhi, and LeBron, and then 1B was Durant and Steph Curry. So obviously no Jokic in the one category in the tier. Do you see, looking ahead, that Jokic will be very easily in that, or will he still be a two-way guy?
Playoffs. Yeah, I mean, the tiers are, looking at how much this guy helps you towards winning a championship. So they are weighted somewhat heavily towards playoff performance. So I don't expect Denver to get to the Western Conference Finals again. I mean, if Murray had been healthy, I would have picked them to win the title going into the playoffs. Without that, you can't say that. But if he plays as well as he did in the playoffs in the bubble, he'll probably jump up into tier one for me.
There you go.
Is there anybody else that you could see maybe not moving up to tier one, but a player that you had low coming into the season that's kind of surprised you and might be moving up for next year?
There are a few. I mean, obviously, Julius Randle is a guy who didn't even make the list last year and is somewhat higher than that next year. He's got a brownie.
nice.
Julius Randle's one. Mike Conley is a guy who I kind of was worried was kind of heading towards that part of his career, and he's certainly bounced back. Kyrie and Russ, probably I might have been a little low on. Zion, I was pretty aggressive on where I had him last year. I had him at the top of tier three. Yeah. Get into tier two, you're starting to talk about, a top 15, 20 player in their league, especially since they're probably not making the playoffs this year. That's going to be a tough one.
Right.
And the other guy with the big chance to really kick his way into the top tier is Embiid with a big playoff run.
Awesome. Well, we'll let you go here, Seth. You got brownies to maybe consume over there. I'm quite jealous. Can't thank you enough though for coming on. What's the easiest way for people to follow your work? What's the Twitter handle?
The Twitter is at Seth Partnow. And read me on The Athletic, at the NBA vertical, and thanks for having me. I was saying when I was muted earlier that I've been a fan of you guys since back in the Basketball Jones days. So it's kind of a thrill to get to come on.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to have you on. I love this angle that you did with the article. Again, the seven craziest, wildest, weirdest stats from the 2020-21 regular season. Go check it out. Subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/nodunks, and then search for Seth's work. It's every article you write, you're learning something. I'm like, whoa, wow, didn't know that. So really appreciate it, Seth. Enjoy the brownies, and we'll talk to you maybe in the playoffs, man.
Thanks for having me.
Whoa, Mac is back. You ever wish you could have it both ways? I do. Like a zero-calorie cheeseburger or staying up late but not feeling exhausted in the morning. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But you can have it both ways with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got some polos, some tees, some undies, and I love them. Simple, soft, stylish. In fact, I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. If you told me my silver PK polo was made from 100% cotton, I would 100% believe you. But those antimicrobial silver threads keep me feeling fresher longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS.
That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code No Dunks.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, we got a super, super late entry to Tweet of the Night. I had something all lined up. It was a hilarious thought from Jimmy Butler. But we got to go with this because it's very topical. And thanks to Ibrahim Exe, who sent it in, and it's this tweet from Zach Cram, and it's wow. This season's leaders in hero points as defined by the Marvel broadcast. So this is the top five. Number five is Luka with 2,081. Randall at number four with 2,101. Giannis with 2,144. Gobert.
Wow.
With 2,146, but number one by over 600 points is Jokic. And wow. He says, look at the size of that lead. Give Jokic the MVP and a room in the rebuilt Avengers mansion. And I have to agree. I mean...
Spoiler alert! Why is it a rebuilt Avengers mansion? What happened to the first one? Jesus!
Well, that movie is over 2 years old, so... Mm. You know, there's no excuse there. But yeah, I thought that was great. And do you want to see the Butler shot?
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Sure, it's pretty good. It's between him and a reporter after the game. It looks post game. Taz sent it to me. I'll be honest, but it's great and it's perfect to Jimmy Butler. And the reporter, I believe, well, Taz believes, is Ira Winderman. Okay. So here it is.
Are you aware of sort of how tough the schedule is down the close with two against Boston, one against Philly, one against Milwaukee, I mean, and one against Dallas? I mean, does it almost feel maybe a little bit like pre-playoffs?
That's tough for you?
I don't know. I'm just saying. There's challenges.
Maybe if your sorry ass was on our team, it'd be tough. But I think we'll be just fine.
My sorry ass, thank you. Thanks, Jimmy.
Love you.
That's good. All right.
That's great.
Winderman's got
Jimmy
no game,
being Jimmy.
Yeah. That's Jimmy being Jimmy. He's got a cool look going on. He's looking like Julio. Right? Yeah, that's awesome. 1, 2, 3, 4, get your money on the floor. Was that Fantastic Voyage, Lee?
No, that's the other one. That's Fantastic.
One, two, three, four. Oh, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
He references Fantastic Voyage
something
in that,
new.
Though. This ain't the Fantastic Voyage, but I'm still on a mission to see if I can get your attention.
There it is.
Now I'm going to drop some information, just a little tip to your education. I live my life by the calls of the floor, 600-watt LATs in the trunk. If you got a beat, you ain't gonna down with me.
I can't believe you know Coolio.
C-O-O-L-I-O with the flow. I'm looking for a party, so let a brother know. 1, 2, 3, it's like ABC. If you're popped in, rhyme out, pay out, rap for free. Slide, slide, but that's the past.
Got something brand new for that ass.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Okay, let's get to Pick'em results. We're running long here. Last night's game was the Nuggets Lakers, and the Nuggets were favored by 2.5. We thought LeBron was gonna play, so that had a lot of us believing in the Lakers. He didn't play, but they still covered. They got the win. That's a money line hit. So nice win for Tass, Trey, and myself for this very short month of May here in the Pick'em, which is brought to you by BetMGM. We've decided loser, last place, giving $100 to charity. All right, that's what's going on with this one. We're keeping her mad simple. So, Lee, right now, you are bringing up the rear because you're 0-1 because you had Denver. But tonight's game, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Oh, yeah, let's run it back. Bucks favored by 1.5 at home. Lele, how about it first? Where do you want to go?
Kevin Durant. I tried to do a sort of LeBron James, but Kevin Durant.
LeBron James, yeah. Kevin Durant.
Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, you're taking the Nets just like that.
Yeah, I can't back against Kevin Durant. And this is actually could be potentially a big one as far as who gets home court advantage for when these two teams potentially face each other in that second round. There. So I think, and it's a TNT game as well, so I think everyone who's healthy is going to play. I think the Nets want revenge. Kevin Durant.
All right.
It doesn't work,
on
but
that. Yeah, you need to work on that. TK, where are you going?
Blank ribbon.
There you go.
And we share it.
Tough to beat the same team twice in a row. So close. You know, the Nets are coming in having lost a couple. So give me Brooklyn Nash. Steve Nash.
All right. So you're taking the Nets?
Yeah, I'll go Nets.
All right. Let's find out who Tess is taking.
Yeah, I forgot to upload the video, but I will tell you, he's taken the Nets.
Oh, wow. Ooh, I don't mind this swerve at all. I don't mind it at all, man. I love Drew Holiday, the way he played Kyrie in the last game. Will the Nets continue to try and play Giannis that way? That's something to watch tonight. Just the, hey, go ahead and shoot it, man. We're not running a double at you. Go ahead and try and get your 40. I'll be fascinating to see. Give me the Bucks. Give me the Bucks to... probably shock some people. I think a lot of people would be taking Brooklyn in this one as a little bit of a revenge factor there. But I'll take Milwaukee to win by two or more. I'll swerve on this one. All right. Thank you so much to Seth Partnow for joining us here on today's show. That was a lot of fun going through some of the craziest stats. Again, go check out his article that accompanies this podcast, theathletic.com/nodunks, to subscribe so they know we sent you. And yeah, you'll enjoy that subscription. I guarantee it. Like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Hitting the beach tomorrow, but get your questions in nodunks@theathletic.com if you want to email them in, or at nodunksinc on Twitter. And finally, grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Fun stuff, guys. JD, loved hearing your thoughts on that Marvel game. I wish there was a Marvel game on every night in the NBA now, because you really brought it today.
Me too. I'd love that.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, maybe we'll talk about this Star Wars baseball game on tomorrow's podcast.
Nope. Keep it up.
All right. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Bone Thugs and Harmony never made it to Australia, but Julio obviously did.
I'll see you when you get there.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay, ooh, every day. And I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one I've waited for. It's happened already. It's gonna be groovy.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.